Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GHCL Textiles Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mehul Gogia from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, one and all. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of GHCL Textiles Limited. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 and FY 2026 earnings con call. Today on the call, we are joined by Mr. R.S. Jalan, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Raman Chopra, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Marshall Sunavane, CEO, Mr. M. Parasuraman, CFO, and Mr. Manu Jain, Senior General Manager, Finance and Accounts. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements. Therefore, they must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now invite Mr. Marshall to present his opening remarks, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Mehul. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to GHCL Textiles earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31st, 2026. Our detailed results and investor presentation are available on the stock exchanges. Let me begin with the operating environment before turning to our performance and the road ahead. The global backdrop represents a case of cautious optimism. Challenges remain in terms of ongoing U.S.-Iran conflict, which has disrupted traditional trade routes, resulting in shipment delays and elevated logistics costs. Energy markets are under pressure, and higher fuel prices is weighing on the cost economics of our synthetic portfolio and fabric manufacturing. Markets remain volatile, and we are monitoring these developments closely. Despite this external turbulence, there is optimism about the overall market. Domestic market conditions improved meaningfully during quarter four FY 2026. I am pleased to report that the quarter was a strong one for us across both volume and pricing. Demand strengthened across our knitting and weaving segments. On the cotton front, prices moved upwards, rising from approximately rupees 55,000 per candy in December 2025 to around rupees 62,000 currently. Global cotton markets have reflected similar trends. Importantly, domestic cotton availability remains comfortable for us, and overall supply conditions provide reasonable visibility for the year ahead. On trade policy, the resolution of reciprocal tariffs with U.S. and the signing of India-EU Free Trade Agreement represent meaningful structural tailwinds for the Indian textile value chain. As additional FTAs with the U.K., New Zealand, and other markets are executed, new export avenues will open up for Indian manufacturers. GHCL Textiles is well-placed to capture these opportunities. Turning to our operations, we have maintained optimum utilization across our units and continue to advance our operational excellence agenda. Our new 25,000 spindle unit has stabilized and is operating at optimum utilization. We have also successfully completed the installation of initial batch of knitting machines, and early customer response has been encouraging. Rooftop solar capacity commissioned during FY 2026 is now contributing to our energy cost efficiency. Together, these investments represent a meaningful uplift to our productive base, and FY 2027 will be the first full year in which we will realize their complete benefit. Our business has delivered robust performance, and same is reflected in reported financials. In quarter four, revenue increased to rupees 375 crores, up by 31% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA came in at rupees 52 crores and PAT at rupees 28 crores. For the full year FY 2026, revenue came in at rupees 1,335 crore, which is an increase of 14% over last year. Also, full year EBITDA came in at rupees 156 crores, which increased significantly by 34% over last year. Further, our balance sheet remains strong with net debt of rupees 118 crores, which represents 0.1x net debt to equity ratio. We made a deliberate and considered decision to increase our cotton procurement ahead of anticipated price rises. This has resulted in a temporary increase in working capital, but we expect this to translate into a tangible cost advantage in the coming quarters as that inventory flows through production. In FY27, we plan to install additional knitting machines and expand our rooftop solar capacity. I am also pleased to share that we have received approval for land allocation in PM MITRA Textile Park in Virudhunagar, Tamil Nadu. This is a strategic development for GHCL Textile and positions us well for the next phase of scale, growth, and product integration. We'll share more details on our plans for this facility as they develop. The momentum from quarter four appears to be carrying forward, and the current quarter is shaping up well. That said, global macro conditions remain fluid, energy prices are unpredictable, and geopolitical development can shift market dynamics quickly. As I said before, we are cautiously optimistic. Our strategic priorities remain clear: broadening our value-added portfolio, deepening vertical integration, and sustaining operational excellence. We are committed to creating long-term value for our shareholders, and we thank you for your continued confidence and support. We are now happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Riddhesh Ram Gandhi from Discover Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Just congratulations on your numbers. So just wanted to understand a little bit as to, you know, have spreads in Q1 of FY27, are they in line or higher than where they were for the average of Q4? And just wanted to understand what the drivers are of these spreads right now. Is it because of the MMF sort of increasing in price because of the oil prices and the Iran war?
Yeah, so I think from quarter three to quarter four onwards, definitely there is an increase in spread. This seems to continue in quarter one as well. So whatever spreads we have received in quarter four, at least it seems to continue in quarter one. Beyond that, as I said, it is depending on how the global geopolitical situation evolves. There could be an impact over it. But at least for quarter one, we have a visibility that the spread looks to be continuing. In terms of drivers for this spread increase, primarily I think in quarter four, we saw a lot of demand tailwinds, both from export markets and domestic markets. Also in quarter two, quarter three, the prices of cotton were more benign than what they are right now. I think these two factors led to a lot of spread increase in for us and also in general for the market.
Well, understood. So, and the incremental benefit of our renewable capex will it kick in this quarter or the next quarter?
So we did two renewable investments. One was 3 megawatts for our rooftop solar. As we have said in previous calls also, the incremental benefit would be about 2 crores. I think that we will realize for the full year. The other 10 megawatt investment on ground solar, which we are doing, the expected full year benefit is going to be about 6.5 to 7 crores, depending on the generation. This year, the commissioning will be around July to August. So probably we'll get about 7 to 8 months of benefit. Primarily, your summer seasons would have gone, so benefit would be in the range of about 4.5 crore is what we can expect.
Got it. So, and the last question was that, you know, given sort of the extremely low leverage you have, despite the level of the capex that you all have done, what is the future plan for the deployment of the free cash flow? Because you obviously have an under-leveled balance sheet, which to an extent might be impacting your ROE. So are you guys either looking at some form of buyback, given the regulations have recently changed, or you know, any other like capex that you are looking to do to sort of have the appropriate like capital structure?
We are, as of now, we are not looking at a buyback. but we are looking to deploy this cash what we generate. And also, earlier we had a plan of about 1,000 crores of investment. Out of that, about 675 crores was already deployed. The remaining 300-350 crores odd is, which is pending, is to be deployed in next 3 years primarily. As I said in the opening remarks also, we have received land in PM Mitra Park. That land itself, it is about 50 odd acres of land, and there will be a significant capital investment towards that. And as we have said in earlier calls also, our vision remains to become a ready-to-cut fabric supplier. I think the further investments pending on our side, about 350 crores, is going to be more towards fabric and processing. So in a nutshell, I think most of it will be deployed, and we are not looking at buyback right now.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you. That's all from me. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand, sir, the demand scenario in domestic and in export markets. What is the driving factor in both the geographies, and what has been the increase in prices and spreads over the last three, so that has been realized in this quarter and is yet to be realized in the, in Q1?
So Prerna, if I understood your question correctly, you are asking about what were the drivers behind the demand tailwinds, right?
Yeah.
And the second part is on the spreads, quarter-to-quarter movement on spreads, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, in terms of demand tailwinds, I think one big factor was the overhang from the U.S. reciprocal tariffs and the penalty tariffs, which was on India. I think subsequently, India-U.S. trade deal got agreed and quashed the tariff itself, right? Sort of that unleashed a lot of demand factors, right? And that was main trigger why demand in the U.S. market went up. And India, as you know, is primarily dependent on U.S. for a large part of its exports, so that definitely benefited. The other part was this improved market sentiment in the Europe part when the FTA was signed. So a lot of inquiries started to come in, and demands got concretized in that part of the market as well. Even the domestic market has behaved well. So, before that, I think there was a lot of demand from China. So in the last quarter, there was a lot of yarn demand which came from China as well, so, which was not there earlier. So that also helped utilize a lot of excess capacity which India has in yarns. And last part, I think even the domestic markets performed well. So there has been a consistent increase on a quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis in domestic market demand as well. So I think these were some of the reasons why we saw a lot of demand tailwinds. On the spread side, I think the spreads have gone up. Just to give you a number, our spread in quarter three was about 123 rupees per kilo. It has gone up to about 148 rupees per kilo in quarter four.
Okay. So, do you, are the purchases from China continuing even now? And what would be the reason that China is purchasing now, again, which was not happening earlier? Any factors that you can attribute it to?
So I think, we have seen a tapering down of demand since March ending. At least in our set of, customers and, channel partners, we have seen a tapering of demand there. In quarter three ending, I think the yarn prices in India were, very low compared to the overall scenario. I think that was one reason. And second, there is an acreage reduction in China with respect to cotton. So I think these two factors primarily sort of led to a lot of demand uptake from China. But as I said, at least I have seen a tapering down now, right now.
Okay, understood. The demand is tapering down from China. Okay, understood. And so second, on the spread part, is the increase in spread fully utilized in Q4, or there is going to be some improvement that we can see in Q1 as well?
So at least in Q1, I believe that it will continue. What spreads we have received in quarter four, it would continue at least in Q1. But beyond that, I think a lot will depend on how global situation evolves. A big overhang definitely remains on fuel prices and sort of gas availability across India market.
Okay. Are there any disruption at your end with respect to gas availability or labor availability, which could impact your Q1 numbers?
We do not utilize gas in our processes, right?
Okay.
We do not have a direct impact from gas availability. In terms of labor, we did not. Of course, that remains a challenge across the industry, but till now, we have been able to manage our labor situation very well.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanjesh Gupta from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Hoping that we continue on the same line.
Yes.
I have a few questions. So firstly, as you mentioned that, the spreads in this quarter were 148, which went up around 25 rupees a kg since the last quarter. So was it for the whole quarter, or it, we saw that post the war?
So I think this is an average for the whole quarter. I am not giving you an ending number, but this is an average for the whole quarter.
So when you consider an average for the whole quarter, but then the improvement gross margin is restricted to a few basis points only. Looking at the improvement in the spread, the numbers look quite bit on the higher side. So are we missing something?
Sorry, I could not hear you. Your voice had echo.
Mr. Saransh, may we please request you to use your handset, sir? Your voice is not clear.
So now it's audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, when we look at the spreads compared to the Q3 and Q4, the improvement, the gross margin improvement is not that significant as compared to the improvement in the spreads that we have seen in the Q3. So are we missing something out here?
I'm not able to understand why you are saying there is no improvement in gross margin.
Looking at the total spreads on the numbers, which is 126-148, which you indicated QoQ increase. But there is not a reflection of the gross margin improvement.
So I think at an absolute level, this is sort of unitized, right? On an absolute level, it will depend a lot on what volume was also generated, right? So, in quarter four, our volume is slightly lesser than quarter three as well. So what I understand is that on a gross margin absolute level, the improvement is not as much as it is in your unitized level, right, on a per kilo basis.
But, if you look at the-
Sir, again, your voice is not clear, Mr. Saransh.
But sir, if you look on the overall volume also on the yarn front, there is hardly any drop in the overall volume in the yarn. There is a decline from 10,800 to 10,400, and the numbers look a bit on the lower end at this point of time, the gross margin perspective. So basically, I'm unable to understand that thing.
See, I don't have the exact percentage number, but what I can tell you that our costs have remained more or less similar between quarter three and quarter four. So whatever EBITDA improvement has happened, actually has happened because of improvement in gross margins as well. On a per kilo basis versus a quantum basis, there could be a difference, and that I do not have readily available now. But what I can tell you that our EBITDA margins went up from about 10%-11.7%. Right?
Marcel, let me answer this question. Saransh, if you look at our number and Q1, Q2 basis, basically the increase in the EBITDA is approximately around 29%. So the number which you are talking about, the value means spread.
It matches with that.
This matches. Okay?
123-148, this percentage.
So if you look at that way, the EBITDA has gone up. And if I'm reducing even the one-time income which we have, that also have reduced. After that also, the increase in the EBITDA is around 29%. That is matches with the, what, Marcel is saying, 123-148. Okay?
Sorry, I mean, I'll take this. I'll take this offline.
And so offline, we can always give you any clarity on that. But we are not missing anything in this.
Sure, sure. And second thing that I want to understand now. Hello.
Sorry, please continue.
So, sir, second thing I just want to understand, now for the full quarter, you indicated that the spreads were at 148. Definitely the major benefit came in the month of March. So, how are these spreads in the starting of, I mean, in April? If you can say
so something. No, we actually started seeing good improvement in spreads from December onwards itself. In fact, in the first 2 months of quarter three, the spreads were very low. Right. So if you see between quarter two and quarter three, the situation worsened a lot, but the spread, at least in our case, drop was marginal. Right. That was primarily because from December onwards, we started seeing a good uptick. And that is what we had also recorded in our statements in our last investor call as well. That from December onwards, we are seeing a good increase in our spreads. And that is what continued between January, February, March, of course. There was a gradual improvement on a month-on-month basis, but it is not correct, at least in our case, that majority of improvement came only in March.
Okay.
Right. So, I was just answering your second part of question. So, as I said earlier also, that in quarter one of FY27, we, at least from a visibility perspective, we are there is a high likelihood of this spread of 148 rupees kilo continuing. Of course, it can go up, but at least on a conservative side, we are pretty certain that this will continue.
I think, Marcel, this is what you have rightly made in a statement. On a conservative basis, this number at least we are going to maintain. So that means, Sarang, basically what he is saying is there is no possibility that the spread might increase in the first quarter.
So that's helpful. And sir, one last question is on your fabric. Now, definitely the contribution has moved up from 8% to overall 12% for the full year. So how shall we see the contribution of the fabric for FY27 and probably once you deploy entire 375 crore for the processing fabrics, what will be the contribution by in next 2 to 3 years?
So definitely fabric has gone up to 12%, and that is what we have been saying, that we are building a market for this, for the investment which we will do in fabric and processing. This year, of course, there will be an increase of this fabric percentage. We are targeting almost 15% of our revenue to come from fabric. A large part of our knitted fabrics would be in-house because 15 machines are already in-house and another 25 machines at least from quarter three onwards we should start receiving. So a large part of our knitted fabric will be in-house. Woven fabric would continue to be on an outsource model only. When we are completely ready with our ready-to-cut fabric with processing capacity, 40% of the product yarn will continue to be sold as yarn and the rest 60% will be vertically integrated either in form of fabric or in the form of processed fabric.
Sir, that answers our question. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aradhana Jain from 361 Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. I have two questions. Just wanted to understand that in general, what are the inventory levels that we maintain of cotton? And given that the cotton prices were favorable prior to the 11% import duty again getting reinstated from January, how much inventory were we maintaining during that period of time? And like how much inventory do we have right now of the cotton that we would have procured at lower prices? The reason I'm asking is that now if we see the cotton prices have started to inch up, right? You also mentioned that in your opening remarks that from 55,000 per candy, it's now to around 62,000 per candy, right? So how much inventory have we, built up?
So we have sufficient inventory to enable us to continue till the next season. Okay. So I think this is what we have been maintaining. In between, there would be a replenishment of the consumed inventory because we don't know how the next season would be. So there will be a continued investment in or purchases of cotton. But now onwards, I think our cotton purchases will start to taper down a bit because we took a strategic decision to buy our inventory early and maintain it for the season. That is what we have done.
Marcel, if you permit, sorry, Arna, let me give you a specific answer to this. we have approximately around 120 days of inventory as on 31st March. Okay. So that means almost around 4 months of inventory. What Master rightly says, now the purchases will be tapered down, and this 4 months along with some few fresh purchases we will be consuming over the period of till November.
Understood. The second thing I wanted to understand is that given that the spreads have been improving, in terms of price absorption at the downstream levels, have we seen any issue that we would be facing in terms of passing those prices on to say the fabric or garment manufacturers? Because ultimately, from demand perspective, do you think that this kind of increase in the spreads would be easily absorbed in the market, given the kind of inflationary situations that we are in? Would it be sustainable? The pass-through of the increase in the spreads?
I think that's a very good question, and that is what our risk also is. At least for quarter one, we see this at this cotton price level. The spread would continue and the price would continue to get absorbed. But the big risk is particularly from an inflation point of view and gas availability. So the cost in processing and fabric making would continue to rise. Whether that at that cost level at which other participants in the value chain would operate at, whether the yarn prices can continue to rise, that's a big question mark. We don't have a ready-made answer right now. It is a situation we continue to watch.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinitra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon to the team and thanks for taking my question. So my majority of questions have been, am I audible, right?
Yeah, I can hear you, but if you could speak a bit louder, it will help.
Yeah, sure. My majority of questions have been answered. I want a bit clarification regarding your export market. So for your key export markets like US and Europe, so what has been the YOY demand decline or growth percentage in FY26 and what is your outlook you are seeing for H2 and FY27?
So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, our exports have increased. So this quarter, it was almost about 14% of our top line came from exports. I want to clarify one part in your question. We do not export directly to US. We basically give to fabric manufacturers who sell in turn to US, but we definitely export to Europe directly and multiple countries in Europe and also Bangladesh. So at least in our priority markets with respect to exports, we have not seen any decline. Europe has been on a muted demand basis for almost, I think, one and a half years now and probably longer. And I think that level of demand is continuing. In between, we see a bit of an increase here and there, but largely it has remained steady. Bangladesh, we do not see any slowdown. The inquiries, at least for us, remain very strong. And even the export data shows that India overall exported a larger quantity in quarter four, particularly in January. The February-March numbers are still to come in. But at least in January, our exports from India for yarn were healthy compared to what is the usual average.
Okay. And last one, keeping question, just wanted to ask, is there any EBITDA margin guidance you want to keep here for coming quarters, like 2-3 quarters or the full year?
So for the full year, what we do not give exact numbers or guidance, but what I can sort of tell you that we expect the growth, what we have delivered this year to continue. It would be near about that level, exact number. It is like plus minus 2% delta sort of thing, right? But that is what we are expecting. It will continue. Given the situation in geopolitics does not worsen from what it is right now, and we see a quick closure or a quick resolution on the West Asia conflict which is going on.
Okay. That's it from my side and good luck for your coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just want to understand if there has been any inventory gains for us in the last 1 year.
No, there is no inventory gain to report. We have been, at least for the last year, maintaining minimal amount of cotton inventory, which has increased only recently. And in even terms of our SG&A and everything, there is no inventory gains.
Got it. And in terms of our consumption of cotton, what is the mix of imports and what is the Indian cotton we use?
So a mix of Indian and imported cotton, see, it varies, but at an average level, we have almost about 30% of our requirement from export as an imported cotton, 25 to 30%, and rest is all domestic.
Okay. And in terms of selling to the brands, what has been the where you actually, you know, there are two ways of selling. One is to agents, and then one is to the brands itself. So the yarn selling to the brands, what was it for the last for FY26, and what was it as a percentage in FY25?
We have a very concentrated portfolio of our strategic customers, which consume almost 40 to 50% of our volume, and these are all large, the top brands. Beyond that, also there is almost a 25 to 30% of people, or maybe around 20-25% number, which is given from brand, but through intermediaries or traders. But their communication is directly with the brand between brand and GHCL Textiles. The rest 20-25% is through small and medium customers who typically would be servicing brands but won't be brand in themselves.
Got it. And in terms of spinblade, what is the current spinblade we have? Because we reported a very high utilization. What is it? And the extra spindle, when it will get fully utilized?
Lakshmi Narendra, I missed the first part of your question. Can you please repeat?
Now, what is the current spinblade we are operating?
So current spindle is 225,000 spindles is what we have. The 25,000 spindles which we sort of commissioned in June is included in this.
Okay, it's included in. And the utilization is that on the entire thing? Or?
Yeah, in quarter four we achieved 98% plus utilization.
And what is the CapEx plan for FY27?
So FY27 CAPEX plan will be between 100 and 120 crores. Primarily, there is one large investment on our on-ground solar. So the cash outgo will and the commissioning will happen this year. The second part is on a strategic investment. Another part is about 15 odd crores in our knitting machines, which will happen. And there is a large strategic investment which we are doing in PM Mitra Park, which I sort of outlined in my opening remarks as well. That is primarily for land.
But thank you so much. I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Cheda from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So this 25,000 spindles peak revenue is around 300 crores, right? So in Q4 we did 70-75 crores. Is that understanding correct?
So that 300 crore number is basically includes, actually it's a range depending on the price of the product, and it is between 250 to 300 crores is including both knitting and spindlage. Okay, so I think that is what it is. It, per quarter, only spinning would be about 50 to 60 crores. And I think that is what we sort of achieved in a way in quarter four.
And what was the contribution from this in Q3?
Q3 was lower. I think Q3 was almost 80% of it. So it would be about 35 odd crores is what it would be.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand where will the incremental growth in this financial year come from. We did around 1300 crores this year. So if you can just guide on where the incremental growth will come from.
So number one is Meenakshi, we sort of operated for two quarters, right? The new 25,000 spindles, what we operated for two quarters. I think the full benefit we will receive next year. Also now the products are getting stabilized. Of course, there is a benefit which will come from unit price as well. The second part is knitting machines. We have 15 knitting machines which got installed only at the end of January. So their full benefit will come. Also, we are putting another 25 machines. Large part of it, almost I think 60% of it will come in quarter two, quarter three. So we'll get a benefit from those knitting machines as well. The other part is that we are putting up our solar investment. So rooftop solar got commissioned only in March, and our on-ground solar will get commissioned around quarter two, right? That is the timeline we have. So there will be a benefit from that angle, which will help our profitability. The fourth part is that we did a lot of investment in the last 3-4 years, right? So we first installed almost 40,000 spindles for synthetic, then another 25,000 spindles. Now it has reached a level where we sort of can optimize on the product mix and stretch our both top line and margins from that front. So this will be the avenues of growth for FY27.
Got it. And we are still holding to the 2000 crore revenue guidance in the next 3 years, right?
Yes, yes. We are sort of putting an anchor on that. We are holding on to that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding the 15 to 18% EBITDA margin guidance. So what will drive this? Will this be driven by premium product mix in yarn segment only, or will it be driven by the fabric portion increasing overall? If you could just help us understand that.
See, Madhur, I think if you see our 10 years EBITDA, right, we have delivered 15%. So number one, I think our normal EBITDA for the current set of products itself is about 15%. And I think with the market environment getting better, we would be able to drive towards this EBITDA margin as well. Second part is we are going towards vertical integration. So this 25,000 spindles is actually an integrated project with fabric. Our fabric, woven fabric revenue also is going up. Right now it is on an outsource model, but those sort of have plans. We have plans to invest in both fabric making and processing. I think that would add another incremental EBITDA margins. And the third part is on our product portfolio getting more optimized towards higher margin products. I think that is a continuous journey which we have been doing. There is a continuous bottom slicing of products where we think margins are shrinking and we sort of move to a new product. And the fourth part is maintaining our utilization levels. We have been able to maintain 98-99% utilization levels. I think if we continue to maintain that, definitely this 15 to 18% margin is achievable within the next 3 years.
Right. Sir, so I'm trying to understand, sir, our aspirations have been always, so one of our competitors, Ambika Cotton, they do close to 35% odd EBITDA margins over a long-term period, and we do close to 30%. So how will we bridge this gap? Because they are only a yarn player, and we are a yarn plus fabric player, still we are doing 70%. So how will we bridge this gap, if you could just help us understand?
So Ambika Cotton primarily is a vertically integrated player. They are a big name or a very well recognized name in knitted fabric. So they are vertically integrated. They are not a standalone yarn manufacturer. Second, they have been running this business of vertically integrated knitted fabric for a much longer time, and they have been able to optimize their products or maintain a quality which will fetch them higher margin. We are on that journey. I think we have just started our vertical integration journey now, and within not a very long time, but in a short period of time, we will be able to get better on our quality, customer selection, market selection, and definitely we will be able to stretch our margins on vertical integration as well.
Got it. Sir, just a final question from me. Sir, with this 40 machines that we have added on the knitting side, what percentage of our revenue should come from fabrics going forward through this?
See, I think with this 40 machines installed, we would be somewhere between 16 to 18% of our fabric revenue coming from, our total revenue coming from fabrics. Almost 50% of it will be from the knitted fabric. So at 40 machines, we will be able to do about 15 to 16 tons per day, right? Which would on a tonnage basis itself would be about 12% of our overall volume.
Right, so not much, because currently we are doing 15% of our revenues coming from fabric. So That
is 12% only, but that is primarily an outsource model. So on outsource model, we are focusing more on volume buildup and not on profit maximization. When it is in-house, while the volume would remain similar, but it would be more a profit maximization story.
Right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourself to two questions only. Should you have a follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to understand, so out of the 25,000 spindles that were only recently inaugurated, and before that 40,000 spindles, so of the incremental revenue that we've made this year, what portion of it will be attributable to this new capacity? Hello.
Sorry, I was on mute. Okay, our revenue because of this 65,000 spindles increase has almost gone up from 900 crores to about 1,330 crores, right? So, particularly with respect to this 25,000 spindles, almost I think 125 odd crores revenue this year has come from the new spindles.
Okay.
And this is 25,000 spindles I'm talking, not the 40,000 spindles. For 40,000 spindles, what I have told you is that our revenue has gone up from about 1,950 odd crores to about 1,335 crores.
Okay. So 25,000 spindles, they'd be working at what, 60% capacity?
As of now,
the contribution?
You can take it about 70-75%.
75. So I suppose you'll have 15% more runway here.
Almost 25% more runway plus another benefits from price maximization can be achieved.
Right. So probably in 27, do we have a revenue guidance for 27? The growth guidance, something that you're targeting this year?
To put a number on what would be revenue, I think it's difficult because a lot will depend on how the prices move. But what we are sort of internally guiding towards is maintaining our current growth rate, what we achieved this year.
Okay, so 14-15% growth, okay. Okay, but so to get to the 2000 figure that we are alluding to, This current capacity, what will be other triggers to drive our growth? Because I suppose you spoke on the margins that there will be solar capacity and all that coming in, which is a different thing altogether, which will have more impact on the margins. But what will really drive our growth, revenue growth from here? Because the 25,000 spindles that we are installing, they'll mature this year. So what is the plan further then?
So you are absolutely right. I think there is a limited room for top line improvement, right, from our current set of assets. That's why we said that we have almost 350 crores of investment to be done from the agreement which we had and commitments which we had. I think those investments are going in processing and fabric making. I think these investments typically have a much better asset turnover ratio. I think that would enable us to bridge the gap towards 2000 crores.
Okay, so asset turn will be 1.5 times?
Because it's 1.5.
On the cotton side of things.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Okay, thank you so much for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Dheeraj Thakur from Elara Capital. Please proceed.
Congratulations, sir, for such a nice set of numbers. So most of my questions have been answered. But the last question which I would ask is, what is the mix of cotton and blended yarn in the current yarn volume?
Mix of cotton and blended yarn, you mean synthetic blended? Or how do you,
yes.
Could you just clarify?
Main made blended in the pure cotton yarn.
Okay. Okay. So, see, our mix is almost 65% towards 100% cotton yarn, and rest 35% is on synthetic blended. That is the mix we follow. And in synthetic blended, there are various versions. There is a polyester rich, cotton rich, right? So I'm not including that cotton here. So 65%, almost 65 to 70% is almost 100% cotton yarn.
Understood, understood. Thank you, sir. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Dhanyavaad, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, sorry, I was just late to the call, so my question may be repetitive. Sir, firstly, you alluded to the 120 crore CapEx for the current financial year. So, if you could just explain where this money will be invested and how will the asset turnover we will expect from the same. And then how, sir, rupee depreciation to 90, closer to 96, now to a dollar, how will this help businesses like us, which we are catering? And in the other income component, we have seen a substantial jump to 10 crore rupees. So if you could just explain the nature of the same.
Kapoorji, in our CapEx, I think almost 35 crores is going towards our on-ground solar, 10-megawatt capacity what we are putting up. There is an investment of almost about 15 crores in our knitted machine, and we have another land allocation in PM Mitra Park, a strategic land allocation, where a substantial portion of capital is going. And the remaining is our replacement CapEx and infrastructure CapEx, which is as part of our process we keep doing to maintain. We have a healthy mix of spindlage in our unit. In terms of rupee depreciation, I believe it impacts us in both ways. So definitely, we get a better money or realization on exports, the quantity which we export, but at the same time, it impacts us in our cotton price because we have almost 30% of our cotton come on an imported mode, right? We buy a lot of imported cotton. I think that becomes expensive for us. Also, across the textile value chain, a lot of imported spares are used, which sort of becomes expensive with this rupee depreciation. The third part is rupee depreciation also impacts, let's say, people who buy chemicals for processing and other operations. So overall, in general, there is an inflation in the textile ecosystem, but at the same time, your exports fetch you higher realization. From our point of view, particularly, the effect is neutral. So it is both ways. It is benefit also. It is a challenge as well. In terms of your third question about other income, there was a sale of non-strategic or non-core land parcel, which we have done, and out of that, about 8-point-something crores of profit has been realized.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Hope I've answered all your questions, sir.
Yes, sir. So you did answer to them, sir. When we look at our dividend payout this time, although we have upped the dividend with the improved profitability, but the dividend distribution is less than 10%. So if you could just outline to us what is the thought process of the management in terms of distributing cash to the investor community. And sir, secondly, if you could just give some more color of how the current business environment scenario is playing out, I missed your opening remark, in terms of the type of vagaries we are seeing in the crude prices, logistic issues, and then inflationary trends emerging in almost every aspect of day-to-day living. How is that affecting the business in particular for us in terms of the spreads? So if you could just outline to us these two aspects.
So, Kapoorji, I will take your second question first on the business environment, and I will request Jalanji and Ramanji to take up your question on dividend payout. In terms of current business environment, we see it as a case of cautious optimism. So there is a lot of demand tailwinds which is happening because of the FTAs getting signed and even the domestic market doing better. There is definitely a risk on the side of West Asia conflict and impacts from that. You definitely said there is an inflationary pressure across which will come in all commodities. And also,
as in availability of critical raw materials and volatility in that. That are some important risks which will impact, and that's why, as I said in opening remarks, we see it as a case of cautious optimism. We are optimistic, but yes, there are cautions also emerging. In terms of spread, our spreads have gotten better from Q3 to Q4. At least we see that continuing in quarter one. Beyond that, a lot will depend on how global situation is evolving. Hope I have answered your second question, then I'll ask Mr. Jalan or Mr. Raman to take up your first question.
Raman, Sakhe ji, as you know that our policy of allocation of our cash flow is very committed towards the growth capex as well as the reward to the shareholders and also our loans. So these are the three areas that we look at. As Marshall has talked earlier, that we are continuing our journey towards the vertical integration, which will require around another 350 crore of kind of capex spend spread over a period of couple of years or 2 to 3 years time. So therefore, to meet those requirements of growth, so the requirement of whatever cash flow we are generating is more toward the growth capex. So therefore, we are adhering to our policy of 8 to 12% payout. So last year the payout was 8%. This year also we have retained our payout of 8%, and the overall percentage is around, instead of 25%, there is a 30% dividend. So we are retaining that. So and we'll be utilizing our cash flow towards meeting our growth needs. So it is both reward to the shareholders as well as the growth needs. That is what we are aiming at. And as and when we have surplus capex, whenever it is there beyond the capex or the growth requirement, will definitely increase our payout. I hope I'll be able, I have answered your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the answer, sir. Only on the non-food interest,
Mr. Kapoor, maybe please request you to.
I'll join the queue. Thank you to the team, sir, for answering here and for elaborate discussion.
Thank you, sir. Next question is from the line of Harshit Khatka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sir, I'm seeing on page number 10 of our PPT, we are saying that we will more than double the revenue. Right? So are we implying a revenue potential of 2,600 crores upwards of that?
No, I think this revenue doubling is from our initial base when we started this commitment of doubling, which was about 1,000 crores. So our anchor is about 2,000 crores, at least for the short time, short journey of about 3 years.
Okay, sir. I just wanted to clarify that, sir. And my second question is regarding the volume growth that you are seeing. So, so what kind of volume growth can we see in, let's say, next year or, in FY28?
So, volume growth from our new spindlage, which is there, we utilized only for 2 quarters, right? So, definitely a benefit of about 4 to 5 months will come in. And also, that is the maximum. Beyond that, I think it will be dependent on the kind of product mix which we will sort of operate in our units. The volume growth could come from that. But primarily, I think next year the volume growth is going to come from this quarter, 2 quarters of Meenakshi 25,000 spindles. And also maximization of our, stretching of prices, better product mix, right? I think that is where the growth will come from, but not only from volume.
And sir, like, are we seeing good impact from FTA with the UK and Europe?
So FTAs aren't yet executed, but we have seen supply chains reorienting towards India. Right, so a lot of the new customers which are there in UK and EU have started approaching garmenters in India and started placing some trial orders. That is the reorientation of supply chain which is happening. Of course, with the view on a long-term basis, the volume will go up.
All right, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sagar from Astralit Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I'm audible.
Yes, please
go ahead. Hi, sir. So your operating cash flow has decreased a lot in year on year. I understand that inventory is one factor, but what about receivables? They have also increased like 43%.
Yeah. So receivable increase is primarily for two reasons. Of course, one is large part of it is because of revenue increases. Once your sort of top line starts to go up, then definitely the receivables will also go in tandem with that. Second is in terms of payment discipline, right? Because quarter two, quarter three was particularly challenging for the industry. So payment discipline was not there, and in certain cases, higher credit limit was extended. But that number will now start to shrink because overall market has started to perform better and the payment discipline is coming in.
Fair enough. And sir, so for the long, long duration, so the cotton yarn industry globally is not grown much in the last 10 years, but India has grown because, we are the second largest cotton production. So how do you see the long-term trajectory of cotton considering the synthetic yarn growth is much faster? So what would be the industry growth that you can expect and how would you, grow faster than the industry?
So in terms of yes, I think globally there is a shift towards synthetic, but India of course has inherent benefits and advantages when it comes to cotton. I don't see those benefits going away. Except in India, maybe the cotton production is growing only in Brazil, and India of course is at a much lower yield, right? So definitely there is a very high likelihood or potential of cotton production itself growing in India, and that would sort of put the Indian cotton industry in as a very good situation. Second, the technology upgradation in India has happened a lot, particularly when it comes to cotton spinning. So I think because of these two things, Indian cotton industry will always be in a good, at least looks like to be in a good situation for a considerable amount of time. But globally, yes, there is a shift towards polyester, but the way we are adjusting is we are mixing cotton with MMF product and giving a solution to our customers, whether it is cotton cellulose, cotton polyester, right? So our strength primarily comes from cotton, and that is what we are banking upon and creating products which will satisfy customers' needs as per that. How do we grow higher than the industry? I think we have spoken about it for almost an hour now. I think we are investing towards going towards ready-to-cut fabric. We are positioning ourselves as a premium yarn supplier and going forward a premium fabric manufacturers, working with the top global brands, coming across more as a solution provider for their raw material needs for particularly garmenters and brands. I think this is how we are positioning, and believe with this positioning we'll definitely be able to grow better than the industry.
Okay, and sir, your working capital days, so it was around more than 135, 140 days around, right? And I was looking at some of your competitors, they have a working capital days of around 90 days. So, what is our sustainable working capital? Because this is impacting your ROE, ROE, right? So, what's your working capital days expectation in 2-3 years down the line?
So, I think the ideal number of working capital will depend a lot on the business model as well. But currently, we are at an elevated working capital level primarily because we preempted a lot of these cotton price increases and built our inventory. Definitely there is a scope for optimization of it, and you will see this inventory tapering down as we sort of reduce our cotton purchases. In terms of our other FG and WIP, they are pretty at a lower level than what we were last year. So primarily the increase in working capital is primarily because of your cotton. What is an ideal working capital level? As I said, depends on model to model, but It usually has been between 110 to 120 days for us also. And I think that is the level what we are planning to maintain.
Sir, this 2000 crore guidance that you have guided, for what is the year that you can achieve that? And also this 15-17% EBITDA margin, at what year you can expect to achieve that?
So as per our internal guidance, we are sort of aiming for FY29. At least for the top line, maybe around FY30. So you can say between 29 to 30 is when we are planning to achieve this, both for your top line guidance as well as margin guidance.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah, that's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Hi, good evening to everyone. I have been given the responsibility to give a closing remarks. So first and foremost, Marshall, I think you have very well articulated the whole position of the textile.
And I think you have been able to give that how the outlook we have and what is the ultimate objective what we are going to achieve in 29-30. I can only say three things. First and foremost, you remember the last time in our call, I have said that now I'm clearly seeing a visibility of a optimism in the business. Because I would say that the headwind has been for pretty long, and the last quarter I said, and that you have been getting reflection now, and what our CEO Marshall has said, now we are seeing this optimism in the going forward in 26-27 as well. The second point, we are on the right track of moving for our ultimate objective in 29-30. Like we have done a strategic investment into the PM Mitra Park. That's a, going to be a big what you call advantage out of that PM Mitra Park. We'll be able to establish our processing without much of the difficulty in, along with the ready-to-cut fabric vision. So that, we have got the land allotment and we are going to make an investment in that. Overall, we are on the right path of achieving this 2,000 crores of objective with a 15% of 15-18% kind of a EBITDA margin. Someone very rightly said ROC. Now our focus is also on the ROC. Yes, this year some ROC improvement has happened around a percent, 1%, and our ultimate objective by optimizing the working capital, by optimizing the margins, we have an objective to go to a double digit of the ROC going forward. That may take some time, but that will happen. Now the complete team is aligned with that, and definitely we are going to achieve these three objectives. And thank you for all of you for your support, and we'll continue to deliver our performance as desired by you all.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.